The NC Department of Transportation is hosting a public meeting on its proposed plan to widen Aviation Parkway from NC-54/Chapel Hill Road in Morrisville to I-40 in Cary. The purpose of this project is to reduce congestion on Aviation Parkway, improving east-to-west mobility through Morrisville to I-40 and I-540. The meeting will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on May 12th at Morrisville Town Hall, 100 Town Hall Drive in Morrisville. For more information, visit ncdot.com and search Aviation Parkway.
Price.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this Friday, June 20th, 2025. This is the last night of Pledge Week. We've got to finish strong. We really have to finish strong. And so I'm just going to give you the numbers right out of the chute tonight. 888-281-1110. That's credit card line. Or 888-677-9673. Now, back there in the phone booth, we have Pastors Mighty Men, Eric and Aaron. And then in the glass cage where we keep him there under control, the Mighty Seth.
Good evening,
Mighty Seth. Here live in the studio, you heard the cackle. And that is the little Lisa Hickman.
Good evening, everyone.
Right. And next to her, by the way, the elder's lunch weighs more than Lisa. The elder, Barkley.
Amen. Good evening, man. Thank God.
Way out there in Texas, see, deep in the heart of Texas, you've heard that, you know, is none other than the legendary. He's a legend in his own time. None other than Big John McTernan.
Did you say I was a legend in my own mind? You said that's mean, Pastor Ernie.
Alrighty.
Listen, God bless you. God bless you, and may we have a wonderful, blessed show tonight.
We're going to do some praying tonight. I'm going to start out here because we have last night, just as we were going off the air, we had an emergency call coming in. We had a 22-year-old lady. All we could get the information, she was hit by a car, and she was in the hospital, and she's in a coma, and they're begging for prayer. I'm hoping she's still all right, and so they're asking us to pray for our healing and for salvation. So then just here, we have another lady, an elderly lady, who we know is saved. Her name is Gail. And she took a fall. And when people our age take a fall, it's serious. And so we're going to pray for her, too. So let's start off with the 22-year-old. I don't know who this girl is. All I know is we got an emergency call begging us, please pray for her. But we were off the air then last night. So We want to take it right now. And I want to ask all you folks out there listening. Listen, it's very important. Mm-hmm. If you really understood how important it was that you joined for us in prayer, mm-hmm. God can hear your prayers. Yes. And this young lady is depending upon that. So, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I don't know this young lady, but Father God, we know that you know all about her. And that's all we need to know. We want to hold her up. I don't know if she's saved. Or if not, the first thing we want to pray for is her salvation. And so we just ask, Lord God, if she's not saved, that this would be the night, tonight, that she would receive the Lord Jesus as her Savior. And we know that that's the first blessing she has to receive before she can receive the second blessing, that complete and total healing. And then I want to pray for Gail and just ask Father God. I don't know Gail, but I do know her sister who called in. Her sister's a wonderful lady, and she's staying here. Gail's in the hospital, and she's staying with her. So I just would hold Gail up and ask Father God, Lord, that you would touch her, and Lord, that she would receive a healing. And both those two ladies would receive blessings in every area where they could receive a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And then I'm going to ask both Elder and John, for you guys, this is Pledge Week, that you would pray for that we would have a good last night of this week. So go ahead, Elder. We'll start with you.
Amen. Father God, we come before you, Lord God, full of faith tonight, Lord God. Your word declares that men ought to always pray and not to faint. And so, Father God, we call on you tonight, Father God, to touch the hearts of your people, Father God. We're calling on you tonight, Father God, the God who works beyond the realm of what just mere men can do, Father God. You work in the realm of impossibility, Father God. And so, Father God, we ask you for the things that are impossible with men that are possible with you, to Father God, that you might do it. That, Father God, we know that you are a God, an 1159 God, Father God. And when our backs are against the wall, Father God, God, you come through. God, you have kept this ministry for over 50 years, Father God, on the radio, Father God. And so, Father God, we just pray again, Father God, that people tonight, Lord God, would see, Father God, the blessing of pouring into the kingdom, Father God, blessing the kingdom, because there's someone out there, Father God, that needs help. Even as the call came in for the 22-year-old young lady, Father God, this radio station provided an avenue, Father God, for those people to be able to reach out and say, hey, I need help. And so, Father God, we want to thank you. We believe that, Father God, you're going to touch that young lady. We're praying for her healing, Father God, but there are so many other situations right now, Father God, where we need you to move, and we need the support of the people. And so, Father God, we pray that again, that they might hear your voice tonight, Father God, and that, Father God, again, you always deliver, Father God. You always come through. And so, Father God, that is where we bring our faith, and we want to just remember right now, Father God, all that we are facing. The world is upside down, Father God. We know that you are soon to return, Father God. And Father God, again, so many souls, Father God, that still have yet to come into the kingdom, yet to repent. And so, Father God, again, we pray that as your kingdom come, your will would be done, and that your people would help to support. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. All right. John, would you like to also pray for the Lord's will tonight?
Yes. Abba, Father, we're before you with a need, Lord, and we operate in faith. So we're asking, Lord, that you would bless this show that we are on, Lord, by the supporters. We don't have advertising. We have supporters because of the truth. Many advertisers can't advertise because of the things we bring out here, Lord. So I'm asking in Jesus' name that you would touch the hearts of the listeners, and that they would support the ministry so no shows have to go off the air, Lord, that we could keep going and reach multitudes of people with the truth of your word, the truth of what's going on politically, and that we'll be armed with the truth. And the Bible says you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen. Thanks, John.
I wondered, Pastor Ernie, I was having feedback when I'm speaking. The feedback.
Okay, we've got our engineer on top of that. Did you get that, Seth? He's working on it.
Okay.
Okay. Are you still getting feedback right now yet?
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. No, okay. Stop.
Okay, good. Now, I have an announcement I needed to make, and that is tomorrow, Saturday, June 21st at 12 p.m., from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. here in Ohio, the Scranton Road Bible Church at the Scranton Road Bible Church at 3095 3095 Scranton Road in Cleveland. Citizens for Property Tax Reform. They have a big event. They're coming. They're going to have petitions for folks to sign. Again, there's a big movement here in Ohio to do away with the property tax, which is an unlawful tax, which is really not even a legal tax. And because so many good people have lost their homes after they've worked their whole life, paid off their mortgage. And because what's happening, the way that they raise the taxes here in Ohio, it's not good, it's not honest. And again, it's a bunch of crooks have gotten into it. And so, folks, what needs to be stopped, there's a very, very big movement to reverse that. Once the people have paid their property off, that should belong to them. They shouldn't have to live in fear, the elderly, of losing their home and being homeless. And so come on out tomorrow. Again, Citizens for Property Tax Reform. And that's tomorrow, June 21st at 12, from 12 to 3 p.m. at the Scranton Road Bible Church here in Cleveland, 3095 Scranton Road here in Cleveland. Okay. Got that done. And I should give that one more time before the end of the program. Now, the title of my message for next week, Lord's willing, is going to be... what is it going to be? Here it is. I know. I wrote it down. It's going to be, we have a new president and an awesome eternal king. We've got the same king, the King of Kings. And our president and our king, believe me, are not one of the same. And that's where we're going to go tonight. We're going to start out, we're going to take a look at, because what I'm going to be dealing with is what is happening out there today. Today you have, with all of what was happening, let me ask you, John, how much of all of these anti-immigration riots, all of these riots that the Democrats are causing, insurrection, has really to do, how much do you think they actually care about the fate of the immigrants, and how much do you think of this has to do with what has been a long-going plan, and that is finally turning America into total communist state? So,
well, everything has nothing to do with them. They're pawns, and the communist Democrats are trying to gin up public support against the federal government, and then they want to manipulate that to bring down, literally, to bring down our government and replace it with a communist government.
It was an interesting thing because they had, I wanted to turn my mic up because you were coming in so low there, but it was an interesting thing because they had, they went to some of these homes of these very wealthy that were out there supporting Democrats, these very wealthy Democrats who were supporting open borders and to bring all the, and so they had a bus with a bunch of immigrants on it. Parked around the corner, and they went and they knocked on the doors, and they're talking to these people. Oh, yes, we're all for open borders. So they said, well, then you wouldn't mind that if they putting some of these immigrants up, giving them a place to live since you want them to come in. Well, you wouldn't believe how fast they slammed the doors. And, you know, not for them. It's like, you know, like socialism. You know, the old saying goes, it's a great idea until you run out of other people's money, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so,
oh, yeah. They're very loving and kind, Pastor Ernie, and all And it's not really coming out of their pocket. It's coming out of our pocket. And then, so when there's no money, then they just want to keep raise taxes, and crush us with taxes.
Yeah, and that reminds me of, you know, of Isaiah 32, where it talks about how, in Isaiah 32, the liberal in those days, where, well, let me just jump over there real fast, okay? He talks about, well, it starts out by saying, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and the princes shall rule in judgment. The king is, of course, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and we will be the princes during the millennial kingdom. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place in the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now, we know who that rock in a weary land is, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And the eyes of them that shall see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. Of course, this is talking about during the millennial kingdom. There's a lot of things right now that we don't quite understand. I mean, we know the Bible. The Bible's there, and we've got some idea of what's coming, but, you know, we don't really know 100%, but we're going to know then. And then he's going to talk about the ears of them shall hearken. Also, he goes on, the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've had the times where you know what you're trying to say, you just couldn't find the words to say it.
Right.
And when that happens to you on radio, it's not a good thing, right?
Right.
But anyhow, that'll all change during the millennial kingdom. There won't be any stammerers. We'll know exactly what to say. Now, but here you go. And the vile person shall be no more called liberal. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
The vile person is that. And when this was written 2,800 years ago, the word liberal had a positive connotation. Back then, a liberal was someone who was generous with their own money, with their own land, with their own property, okay?
Hmm.
Today, a liberal is someone who's generous with other people's property and other people's freedoms, huh?
Well, so, that's a liberal.
Yeah.
They want to use your wealth. They want to use everything that you have to give to other people.
Yeah. And so he says here, now remember, back at that time it was written, the liberal had a positive, but now he's talking about just prior to the millennial kingdom. Okay, in other words, the days we're living in right now, it says the vile person shall be no more called a liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. So, once the millennial kingdom starts, then the word liberal will go back to its original meaning, not the way it is today. But today, a vile person is called a liberal today.
Mm.
And what do we mean? People who embrace everything that God's Word of the Bible calls sin.
Yeah.
Whether it's abortion, whether it's sodomy, whether it's pedophilia, bestiality. Today, if you're a Democrat, you embrace these things, okay? He says, for the vile person shall speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy. And boy, if that's not what's happening today with the Democrats, I mean, that is the hypocrisy is unbelievable. But anyhow, I wanted to go back to see where all of this started, because what we're talking today, you've got an unholy alliance, a confederacy in America, John, of the communism and radical Islam. And so, and this is what we're seeing out there taking place in the streets. And this is what we're seeing is happening in Israel, too, okay? And that communism, some of the things that communism pushes on us today, one is death, right? They love death. They hate God.
Mm-hmm.
They hate good. They hate things that are good. They love death, okay? And so here, the other things, they love with abortion. They love sodomy. Again, if it's a sin, they embrace it. This is communism. Where did communism start? Well, if you read all of the teachings and the indoctrinations that we're getting of communists, it's always exactly in total opposition to whatever the Bible teaches. Mm-hmm. Starting with the very first divine institution that God gave us, and that's marriage and a family. Okay, mm-hmm. What did they want to do? What did the communists want to do with that institution of marriage and a family? Go ahead, John.
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's extremely destructive, and they want the state to be ahead of everything. So the church interferes with the state, so they want to destroy the state. The family unit it takes focus off the state, so they want to destroy the family unit. So they go from issue to issue like that, because everything is to be focused on the state control.
Okay, right now the Southern Baptist movement has decided that their main goal this year, between now and the end of this year, is to reverse same-sex marriage, what they call same-sex marriage. There is no such thing as same-sex marriage. God gave us the institution, and he also gave us the definition of what marriage is. Marriage is an institution between one man, one woman, one lifetime with God. What they've done, and they've taken it and they've soiled it, and they've turned that institution, what God calls here, he calls it an abomination. He calls it sodomy and a fornication. So what they call same-sex marriage, God calls an abomination. Okay, so here. This is where, again, with communism, everything is exactly the opposite of whatever God's word, the Bible says. The Bible says it's between one man, one woman, one lifetime. And they say, no, it's between same-sex partners or whatever, as many as you want for whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we have Bob and Marie in Michigan, pledge 100.
All right.
Thank you, Bob and Marie. And Danny in Michigan pledges 200. Thank you, Danny. All right, folks, there you go. I should be giving that number out. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. And so, yeah, we really need to finish strong tonight, we really do, to stay on all the stations you're listening to us on now, which has not been easy. So now we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 14. And where did communism start? We go to Isaiah chapter 14, and we start. And John, would you read verses 12 through 18? And then Randall, you pick it up at 19 through 23.
Okay.
Go ahead, John.
Okay. All right. Hold on, Pastor Ernie. Just give me a moment here to get everything in order so I can read it. How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How thou art cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation.
Let's stop there, okay? Yeah. Let's stop there for just 1 minute. Now think about this. That did weaken the nations. What Lucifer brought, okay, here was something that did weaken the nations. Now, his name Lucifer means the shining one, okay, and is rendered day star. But that's really what, that's the name for the Lord Jesus, huh? And so here.
Yes, Ernie, that's outrageous. I think it should be brought to the attention that what these modern translations have done, they've taken out Lucifer and put Daystar in place.
Well, that's because of so many pantheistic cults. That's their god is Lucifer. They openly worship Lucifer, right? And they call him so here. So, but now he's talking about, again, that have weakened the nations. Would you say that communism weakens every nation that it it takes over. Everywhere, in every area, morally, first morally, but every area, the economy is always weakened. Mm-hmm. Show me a good communist country, one nation that's got a good economy, that the people are free, that they have some freedom, that they have a decent standard of living.
Yeah, they're not going to, because the Lord Jesus already said Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the two don't mix.
They don't. So this is where we're getting with communism. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, notice how communism doesn't last. You know, Russia and even China, the way China is now, it's not really communism. It's like it's weird. They say they're communist, but they're actually capitalist. Because they know that they need to get that money in there so that they can grow and they can have a military and all that. The communists can't do that. They don't have. It's not structured to do that. So it's amazing to see how communism. What does it take so these people realize it doesn't work, Pastor Ernie?
Well, you know, what does it take? The answer to that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and that's where the answer is found. It's called discernment that comes through the Holy Spirit. And so, go ahead and let's look at those verses one at a time. Would you go ahead and read verse 13?
Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
Hold on.
You've got that mechanical Bible, don't you?
Oh, boy.
Yes, I do, and first time I've ever had trouble with it. I'm going to have to pass on it.
All righty.
13.
Yeah.
All right. It says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north."
Okay, so now we're taking a look at here the first communism. He's the first communist. Mm-hmm. Now, where did it start? Communism actually started in heaven and was immediately thrown out. Mm-hmm. And here, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven." Okay. Now, here, he's referring to taking the throne of God. He's referring to the throne,
right,
of God. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God."
Mm-hmm.
Who are the stars? These are only angels he's referring to. Mm-hmm. Okay. "I will also sit in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." That's the third heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's where the throne room of God is at, right? I don't think he's going to do it. Okay. Now,
Ernie,
yes.
When it says, "and I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation," is that the is that us, the believers,
yeah,
in the Lord?
Yeah. That's us.
Mm. Yeah.
And so now he goes on to say, "and I will ascend above the heights." Here's an interesting words there in the Hebrew. The heights, okay, there in Hebrew is Obama. It's Obama.
Hmm.
Now listen to this, okay? "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds and be like the Most High." Now, here, this is an interesting thing, because if you take that word, Obama, it's actually in the Hebrew, it's Ubama, but it's pronounced Obama. "I will ascend," it means the high one, okay? The high one, okay? If you take the UH off and just have Obama, if you turn to Ezekiel chapter 20, turn over to Ezekiel chapter 20 and let me see. And go ahead and read verses 29 through 32.
What was that, Ezekiel? What?
Ezekiel chapter 20.
20. And then you said 39 through what?
Yeah, now remember, you take the word Obama. Yahweh, which means I will ascend above. That means the Most High. Okay. Now think about this. Where do we get that word Obama? Now, if you...
I'm there, Pastor Ernie, if you want me to read it.
Go ahead.
Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto ye go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. There, wherefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are you polluted after the manner of your fathers? And have you committed whoredom after their abominations? For when ye offered your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves with all your idols, even to this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired by you.
Now, here's an interesting thing. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, the last verse, 32. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries who serve wood and stone.
So he's talking about here, okay, that the high place called Bama. Now here, the definitions of that, going back to Isaiah 14, the word heights, Obama, that means the high one, the high one, okay? In other words, who is the highest? Who is the highest?
God.
God, okay? So he is saying he's going to be like God. He is going to ascend above God. Mm-hmm. Above God. Now, if you, the word Bama, Ezekiel, if you take the UH off, in Ezekiel, the word Bama, and there it was called Bama. Now, that means the high place. The high place. Now, what is the high place?
God's throne in heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He sits, yeah.
Okay. And so, it's an interesting thing, because if you go over to Luke, and I believe it's in chapter 10 in Luke, now listen to this. Luke 10, verse 17. Well, let me go to verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning. Now, do you know what that word lightning there is in the Greek? It's brach. It's brach. Okay. Now listen to this. I beheld Satan as brach fall from, what is the name of Bama? Place heaven.
Okay.
And so,
yeah.
So here you've got Barack Obama in one verse here. Barack Obama in one verse.
Mm.
Do you think that's just a
coincidence?
Or do you think maybe there's an esoteric message there? Okay. So if we go back to Isaiah in verse 15, now would you say that Barack Obama is a communist?
Definitely.
And Ernie, he's a conglomeration of everything.
Yeah.
He's a communist, he's a Muslim, he's a pagan. You know, I can't pin him down with one ideology. He seems to be like a chameleon.
I can. The word is that he is an antichrist. Okay. He is an antichrist, and even today there are many, as he said, and my opinion out there today, as far as all the ones I've looked at, the ones that have the most attributes and characteristics of the biblical Antichrist, who is Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to say, yet thou shalt be brought down to the hell, to the sides of the pit. And so here now, the old saint Antichrist is not going to get what he's looking for, is he?
Oh, no. Oh, no, he's going to be brain for 3.5 years, Pastor Ernie, and then it's the lake of fire forever.
Yep. Now, so we're taking a look at where Satanism started. It started right here, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, communism started right here. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, let's take a look at radical Islam, where that starts, and let's go over to Oh, you know what? We went way past our time here tonight. Whoa. Okay.
Not a word is good.
Yeah. But I just want to say here, we go over to where radical Islam starts, and that is in Genesis 16. And let me just read this here. Now, he's talking about Ishmael. This is where it starts, okay? And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of the brethren. And so if you took it, if you look at radical Islam today, how peaceful are they between the Shiite and the Sunni?
They're not peaceful at all.
They're warring. So here, yeah, between Saudi Arabia and Iran, you got the real battle between the Shiite and the Sunni there, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if they're not fighting with Israel, or if they're not fighting with somebody else, they're fighting with each other, aren't they?
Yeah.
What does that say? His hand shall be against every man. Okay. Mm. And that's where it started, right there. And this is what's going on right now over in Israel, to Gaza, with Hamas.
Wow, that's really
good. And so we're going to stop right there. And I'm going to play a clip, John. And this is about what is happening today in Iran. And so here, you have the idea is to divide and conquer. And there's, we've seen the Trump derangement theory as syndrome, the Trump derangement on the left. But there's beginning to be a derangement syndrome on the right. Would you call it the Zionist derangement syndrome, John?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, it's really really exploding. Out in the open now.
So what is it that these folks are really missing? Because these are people, these are friends of ours. These are friends of ours that we've known for a long time, many of them. And the division, they're, all of a sudden they're becoming very anti-Israel, anti-Semitic. So what is it that they don't understand?
Pastor Ernie, they have a lack of understanding of Bible doctrine. Really, that's the covenants that God has made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their seed, with them as people and the land of Israel. It's crystal clear from the scriptures.
I've got to jump in. I've got to give the numbers out. The numbers are 888. The phone haven't been ringing, and we got a good program, but I got to get those numbers out. Whoa. Wow. We've almost gone the first hour already. 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110, folks. You know, we have to see these phone lines. They've got to light up. Or 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. You got to call. I mean, listen, we're fighting with everything we have. Believe me. We work really very, very hard. Believe me, very hard. We don't get paid to do this. Not only do we not get paid to do this, we give above and beyond our time. We give our own money, our own expenses, too. And you know, we're doing it not because we're really great people, wonderful people. We're doing it because that the cause is a righteous cause. The same righteous cause for you, it's the same righteous cause for me. You know, mm-hmm. What we're doing here tonight is we're coming to you as the Lord leads us tonight to explain to you so you have a better understanding of what is taking place out there. Mm-hmm. And many of you are biblically literate and you do understand, filled with the Holy Spirit, and we need your support so we can continue doing what we're doing.
Yes.
And so, with that, again, let me give those numbers out again. 888 1110 or 888-677-9673. We definitely need to hear from you. Okay.
Yes.
So we're going to play a clip, John. And so let's go ahead. And this is a clip with Alex Jones and Steve Bannon. So whenever you're ready, Seth.
But if we have a super unpopular war, and we directly get into it, and then we hit them, the Iranians will hit our bases, they will hit the aircraft carriers, and then we will be forced to go into full war. Let's say there's regime change, then it goes into a quagmire. We know even the CIA is now, it's in the news, brief Trump, and explained that, oh, they might build a nuke quicker if we don't take them out immediately. And it looks like we can't take them out very quickly. This would be probably protracted. And what they're really hinting at is they've got the bomb. They've had the bomb. I've been saying that for 15 years, and I have sources. I'll just leave it at that. Sources on the ground, sources in CENTCOM that saw it, the satellites. We've got spies with snoopers on the ground. We know they've got a lot of fissile material from the scans, from the aircraft and satellites that can pick this up. So we know they've got it. That's why Netanyahu for 25 years has said they're 2 weeks away. Well, from my intel, 15 years ago, they had enough fissile material. Now, are the bombs all put together? We don't know, but they've got it. And with the technology, this is 1940s technology, it's easy. So now that's finally starting to hit the news. Trump doesn't want a Libya scenario. Now Russia has come out and made a disturbing threat of nuclear Armageddon. And a week ago was saying they were probably not going to get involved. Now they're saying they're going to get involved. China is hoping we get involved because they believe it'll push people quicker into the BRICS and accelerate the dollar's problems that Trump's trying to stabilize. And on the track we're on, we will happen. And so strategically at every level, this goes from bad to worse. But
this is very strange tonight. Okay, we have, Rocky in Michigan pledges 50. And then James in Michigan pledges 200. But listen to this. Every single call that's come in tonight so far has been from Michigan. It started out with Bob and Marie. They pledged 100 from Michigan. Danny from Michigan pledged 200. Rocky from Michigan pledged 50. And James from Michigan pledged 200. That's very strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, It seems like, especially on Friday nights, same strange things have been happening, right?
Wow.
Thank you, yeah. Folks out there for that. Wow, that is.
John, we need you to put the bat signal up in Texas so we can get some money coming in.
Yeah. Pastor Ernie, are you broadcasting on all stations now? Or maybe?
I'm starting to wonder if we're.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie.
So, I mean, are any other stations out there? I mean, we haven't even got one from Ohio. Are any other stations out there listening? I'm wondering tonight if we're only on Michigan. I mean, that's, how unusual is that? Okay. What is the odds of that? We definitely need to hear from you if you are in Texas. Our stations in Texas we're holding on by the skin of our teeth. Same thing in San Diego. Chicago's not quite that bad, but it's not far behind right now. New York's a little better, in better shape, okay? But, folks, we do need to hear from you out there, especially tonight, especially in Texas, especially in California.
Yeah.
John, you better get your neighbors up and get them going. And so, what we just heard from, we have another clip. Go ahead and play the other clip with Alex Jones, too.
Their whole strategy has been to get the bomb, but then sit back and deny that they have it. They've done the opposite of the North Koreans, flaunting that they have it. And we know they've had the fissile material, and we've had the assessments. And we know Israel knows this. We know the Pentagon knows this, because that's where I learned about it. I'll leave it at that. And these people I trust. And then I talked to other people once I got the info, and they said, yeah, you're not supposed to know that. But yeah, that's true. So that's just well known. And the Saudi Arabians have nukes, but they keep them in Pakistan. I've said that 7-8 years ago. That came out last year, that they're, quote, seeking it. But the idea that you can have even a probability of taking out all of their nuclear material and missiles is just futile. Maybe they are as unpopular, and we know they are with many people over there. Maybe there will be an uprising, and maybe the mullahs will fall. But a lot of the assessments are that they'll be able to hang on for a very, very long time. And again, close the Strait of Hormuz, do a lot of other things. And so if Israel basically had unlimited weapons from us, and this just went on for 6 months, and they just continued to bomb anything, you know, the satellites looks like a weapons platform or weapons cache, that it could degrade it a lot. But that's been their whole strategy, is to hide these different sizes, and they're firing bigger and bigger ones. And they fired recently one that has a 2,000 kilometer range. And so it's, again, the idea that these nuclear sites is what you hit is all based on they don't have a bomb or the material for it yet. And so it just doesn't fit the reality of it.
Okay, so what do you think, and that's the situation. Look, we've known for years and years. Remember going back with Jimmy Carter. Remember what happened in that situation with Bill Clinton? Clinton wanted to take out North Korea's nuclear facilities before they had the bomb, and they knew that. And the first thing he hears before they had planned on, Clinton had planned on doing that, but before he could do it, Jimmy Carter is over there in North Korea making a deal. Okay, and so they didn't, and the deal was that they will, and of course you have Clinton talking about, well, we got a great deal, they're going to stop no more uranium enrichment, they're going to not go for the bomb, and of course they went for the bomb.
Yeah, okay?
They have the bomb. We know that Israel's got probably more nuclear weapons than anybody in the area out there. And so, of course, Pakistan.
Ernie, the estimate is Israel has about 300.
Yeah.
Wow.
Boy, it can do a lot of damage.
Jericho 3 missiles, which they could reach beyond Moscow with them.
So, you know, here's the Iranian, their strategy was that when they keep firing supersonic missiles over into Israel, that here Israel has the Iron Dome, but it takes 2 or 3 of those missiles from the Iron Dome to take down one incoming missile. And so Israel has depleted. They've depleted. Mm-hmm. So the United States has been coming in. They've been helping out, firing from the shores. But Trump has given him less than 2 weeks now, and he's given this, and the idea is that he is going to take out they're going to use the bunker busters. Now, everybody's got some resources. Everyone who's got some resources out there, we're all getting intel. We're all getting information. Now, the problem with it is, I'm not the president.
Right.
Okay. So I am not going to. I've got opinions on based on what knowledge I'm privy to. Okay. Mm-hmm. The problem is you've got all of these people, Alex and Bannon and all the rest second guessing President Trump. Mm-hmm. But John, they're not. Even though they do have resources, even though they do have intel. Privy to what the information that Trump has, are they?
No, they're not, Pastor Ernie. And I'd like to add something, either now or we can talk about it later, is the ideology behind Iran and how dangerous this is. And this is not being brought out to the American public.
All righty, very good. Let me do this very quick. I want to say Norman Illinois pledges 50. So Chicago's listening.
Yeah.
And then we want to, and let me see, then Norma and Betty in California pledge 100. Okay, so California's on. I just got a text there from San Diego. Donna in New York was pledging 50. And Eileen in Minnesota pledges 100. And Mark in Ohio pledges 100.
All right.
Okay, very, very good. So we, I guess we are going out all over the country. So praise the Lord for that. Okay, so here they're privileged, privy to that. Let's just say, because we've had some people that are calling in and they just want to take out. Let's, we got to go. We got to just take out Iran. That's easier said than done, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, oh yeah, that's right. Yes. So, what happens is, you know, we might severely damage Iran, but what if Iran cuts these missiles loose and takes out all the oil refineries in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and United Arab Emirates, and it throws hundreds of mines into the Gulf of the Strait of Hormuz and yeah. shuts down all the oil shipments. So it's a third of the world's oil instantly will be shut down, Pastor. And then who knows how long it would take to rebuild the refineries in the Persian Gulf. So it could absolutely turn the world economy upside down overnight.
Well, but take a look at this. First of all, look. Iran is not some banana republic. Iran's got over 90 million people, almost 100 million people. And here, they're China's only source of oil. China's not going to sit back and watch their only source of oil be cut off, are they? Okay. And not do anything. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to be bringing China into this. And, of course, you know, Russia's making a lot of noise there, too. But look. Here, Trump is saying, he's telling people, get out of Tehran, leave. And that's good. He needs to do that. He needs to tell them. Now, here, the Iranian people, remember, they had, under the Shah, they were living almost in kind of a republic almost, okay? And so they understood they had some freedom, didn't they, under the Shah? They like what is here in America. When they leave Iran, where do you think they want to come to? They want to come here, okay? But right now, we got the borders closed off, don't we?
Yeah.
And so this is a very, very complicated thing. And so I don't think that we should be second-guessing President Trump. You know, he's, like I said, he's got the info that we don't have. I think we should be praying for President Trump.
Yeah, he needs our prayers. There's so much information that's coming in, Pastor. I mean, you have people with nefarious reasons that are around him, giving him information or holding back. And we really do need to pray, because, as you said, he has information that we don't have, and he has to make a decision on that. And you can't please everybody. You know, but he has to make a decision that's going to be in the best interest of America.
Well, and for those of us that are on the right, our brothers that are becoming anti-Semitic, you better understand. Look, Israel by no means is a wonderful, it's by no means a godly. They've always been a stiff-necked people.
Yeah.
But God says, keep your hands off them and let him judge Israel. And so that's what do. Okay, folks, listening to God is a good thing. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. More to come. A whole lot more to come.
Please call.
Yep, call 888-677-9673. 888-281-1110. Call now, please.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready, I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.